You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ, Bucky, Rhett back with you. And guys, we got a lot to get to today. We've got a couple Monday Nighters, which I know we touched on this last week, Buck. But I think I've got a firm opinion on this now after seeing it for a couple weeks. I don't like the two games at the same time. Oh. I'm out on the two games starting at the same time. Not having it.
It was an hour. They were staggered an hour.
Yeah, but it needs to be a bigger stagger. If they're going to be on the same time, it almost has to be like a college football doubleheader where you have enough time to watch one before you turn over to the other. I don't mind watching maybe like the last quarter having to flip back and forth. But like, I mean, the whole game, you're toggling back and forth. So I'm with DJ. I want to space it out a little bit. Or why don't we do a Monday, Tuesday night deal? Something like that. So we can get
all the games. The only negative to me would be the 4:15 Pacific time start out here is a little tough. I got a lot going on in that 4 o'clock hour. We're talking school pickups.
That's a school pickup.
I'm usually not catching that thing till, you know, halftime. So definitely had to go back and rewatch a lot of that Eagles Buccaneers game, but did catch plenty of the Rams Bengals matchup. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, it was, I'm okay with two games. Just space them out so we get a chance to see both of them. I don't like having to choose. The choices are for Saturdays and Sundays. Mondays and Thursdays, I don't need choices. I want the menu to be presented. I want it to be preset. So that's just my takeaway on that one. Let's jump into these games. Exactly. Philly, let's get to this Philly-Tampa game. We'll start there. Buck, you can go anywhere you want to go. You can look on the defense. With Jalen Carter in that front and how dominant they were, the offensive line for the Eagles, I mean, Swift going off. You can go anywhere you want to go on the Eagles side of things. What stood out to you?
Well, let's just talk about the Eagles and how the expectations for the Eagles have made it where they can dominate a game and do it in a fashion where you win by two touchdowns, but everyone is still kind of wanting more from this team. Because they were so dominant a season ago, I guess we expect them to kind of pick up where they left off, and that's just not how it goes. I would say when I'm watching this team, I see a team that has the ability to beat you a few different ways. They can absolutely run it down your throat and kill you with a bunch of gut punches where you have DeAndre Swift and Jalen Hurts and those guys running the football at will. And they still have the ability to have an explosive pass game. That passing game hasn't clicked yet, but you can see where they want to go with it. And then you guys talked about the defense and those things, Jalen Carter and their front and what they're doing. I'm just saying the Eagles haven't played their best ball, but here they are sitting pretty at 3-0. And you already can envision this team battling the San Francisco 49ers for the number one seed in the conference.
Yeah, I think that's where I would go big picture of this is a team that matches up very well with everybody with this front, but specifically the 49ers. That collision is coming down the road here. We've been talking about all offseason and into this year. Jalen Carter, guys, I went and broke that down. I mean, he's the interesting thing. He only played 21 snaps in this game. 17 of them are pass rush reps, only four reps against the run. So they're basically just able to use him as a situational rusher at this point in time. That's the luxury they have. He might be the defensive rookie of the year, on pace to be the defensive rookie of the year. And he's playing 20, you know, a little over 20 snaps a game here. They don't even need him. They have so many different guys they're rolling through. Nolan Smith is someone who flashes every week. He's yet to play more than seven snaps in a game through 3 weeks. So they're going to be able to preserve all these guys. They're going to stay fresh throughout the whole year because of the unbelievable amount of depth they have up front. And then on the other side of the ball, Rhett, we were texting about this going through the tape this morning. This offensive line, you know, with Kelsey's ability to get up to the second level, Dickerson as a puller, then you've got Lane Johnson, who's still the best right tackle in the NFL. They mauled a very, very big physical front in the Bucs. And you don't see lanes like that very often that DeAndre Swift was able to run through.
Yeah, and that jumped out immediately. And I guess I'll just say this quickly about the Bucs. I mean, it was kind of a fun, you know, story early on. You know, they go 2-0. I don't think many people expected a ton out of Tampa this year, but they found a way to win their first two games. They're going to be in some games, you know, down the stretch here, but they look totally uncomfortable defensively in this game. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles amassed, what, 26 first downs, and 11 of them they got on the ground, and I'm not talking about all short yardage, you know, tush push situations. Like, you know, you look at I think one of their very first downs is an explosive play where they pulled Jason Kelce's like a lead blocker through a massive runway for DeAndre Swift, goes for 14 yards. It's like an RPO, and the linebackers are 4 yards. They go 4 yards backwards before even realizing it's actually run. So the runway and the gap between the first and second level is just so huge on some of those plays. Then they had a 3rd and 6, which, you know, look, to Tampa's, you know, defense here, I mean, that's a pretty big passing tendency down, right? Mm-hmm. So you got, as we were talking about, DJ, you know, Todd Bowles overloads to the boundary side. And what do the Eagles do? Well, they're just going to run a zone play to the field. And it's 3-on-2. And it's an explosive play. So, you know, look, that good game planning on the Eagles side, seeing tendencies and finding ways to exploit those. They mauled guys all over the field here. And it was fun to watch if you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah, and I will say, just kind of put a bow on that one, the Bucs. Look, they're going to be in it in that division. That division is not going to run away from them. They've got a real chance to win this division,
yes,
get into the postseason, and kind of a reset year. So, you know, look, it's not all hope is lost there in Tampa. They're going to have a chance to stay in this race all the way to the end. Buck, by the way, I do notice that anytime we talk about the Georgia Bulldogs, your dog gets a little fired up in the background right there. It's just they have that sense.
So unfortunately, man,
what's going on?
She knows what's going on. She knows whenever we talk about the Bulldogs, she kind of, as an American Bulldog, she's like, hey, whoa, those are my people, my cousin, let me make sure I speak up. So she wants to make sure that she gets involved and supports her people.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the English Bulldog
would
care.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, now let's get to the next one. If you have a Bengal tiger in the yard, then we got real problems here. But
we have
let's
real
go to the Rams
here.
And the Bengals here. Takeaway on that one, Buck, what do you got?
Joe Burrow kind of sucking it up for the team and showing up. Like, I was really worried about Joe Burrow playing in this one because of the calf, and the calf has been a lingering issue. But look, he sold out for his team. He comes back. He understands the challenge that it would be if this team had fallen to 0-3. So he plays, and he plays in a very controlled fashion. They find a way to really unlock Ja'Marr Chase, and they didn't do it in a fashion where they're pushing the ball down the field. They moved him around, put him in the slot, got him some easy layups where he can touch the ball, 12 catches, had over 100 yards. These are the things that the Bengals have to do, because in this new NFL where they're taking away the deep ball, you're going to have to manufacture production for your best players and hope that they can break a tackle and make things happen. For the Bengals, it was a nice start, even though it wasn't the high-powered offense that we've grown accustomed to seeing the last 2 years. It was a very efficient, effective offense that really complemented a very stingy and stout effort from their defense.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I would go. Otherwise, just to say on Burrow, I mean, you know, zero snaps from under center, right? They knew what they wanted to do with him. They knew how they wanted to protect him. He didn't throw a ton, you know, outside of the pocket. He was comfortable inside of the pocket. That's where he wanted to get it out of his hands. And, you know, I love the competitor that he is. I love, you know, how he, you know, shows up for his team when they need it and figure out a way to push through, you know, a tough injury. But I just, like, I wonder if we're going to get to a point here where we're going to be able to put that concern to bed, and you're not going to be like holding your breath on every dropback, right? On every passing attempt where, shoot, he steps wrong one of these plays and, you know, you're down for a month. And you certainly don't want that to happen as you start getting later into the season when these wins, you know, you really want to be stacking these things up. But I love that it's working out for him right now. And I'm glad he said that they didn't suffer any setbacks on that calf throughout this game. The thing I'll say, and if you're listening to the broadcast, I mean, you heard Orlovsky and Riddick just absolutely, you know, pumping up Lou Anarumo, and rightly so. I mean, he was fantastic in this game, the way he was dialing up pressure. He didn't even, I mean, look, he pressured, I think, like 30% of the time. It wasn't like the 86% of the time, DJ, in the game that you saw with the Chargers and Vikings on Sunday. But it felt like there was constant pressure, right? It felt like they were bringing it from all over the place. The stunts and the games that they were doing up front with Hendrickson and Hubbard, and Logan Wilson got into the action too. I mean, like, they overwhelmed the Rams offensive line and did a pretty good job of Puka Nacua, first team to actually, you know, keep him under 100 yards receiving on the year. So hats off.
Yeah, it was interesting just looking at this Rams team, you know, on a day, I don't know why I was thinking about this, just on a day where you saw the Bucs playing in the other primetime game here on Monday night. And I'm thinking about Stafford, the throw, the Cooper Kupp, the Super Bowl year, just what that complexion of that team looked like versus how many new faces and new guys they have on this Rams team. They have flipped it over. They're playing a lot of young guys and they're competitive. So they've been better than advertised to me what the expectations were. They lost a close one there. One thing I want to point out here before we wrap up this game, the bye week for the Cincinnati Bengals is coming up. That is October 22nd. So they have three more. If Burrow can kind of limp his way through at Tennessee, at Arizona, and then Seattle at home, that's not a murderer's row there. So if you're hopeful that this limited version of Joe Burrow can just kind of do what he did last night, and that's just get him to the finish line, find a way to win a game. It doesn't necessarily have to be pretty. It's not vintage Joe Burrow. But if you can get to that bye, you're gonna need to rest up then, because coming out of that bye, they're going to face at San Francisco and then the Buffalo Bills. So those are two heavyweight matches waiting for them. So get to the bye. That's the hope here if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll jump into the rookies, a little recap off what we saw last week, and we'll have our rookie draft for week four right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, let's take a look at the rookies that we had week three. If you look at our draft last week, I had Richardson got me 0 points because he didn't play. Bryce Young didn't play for Rhett, so Bucky got the quarterback with Stroud. I barely won in the running back with Bijan Robinson. Bucky got a second place finish. Then Bucky came back and also won with the wide receiver with Zay Flowers. So big week with Buck, and he leads the season total now with 15 points. So strong week there, Buck. And I think one of the reasons why you're sitting here in first place is because of the performance of the guy you saw last week in C.J. Stroud. We touched on it yesterday, but I feel like we could you give a little more love there from what you've seen from the Ohio State quarterback.
Look, C.J. Stroud is everything that we loved about his game when we used to talk about him on Path to the Draft. We talked about how natural he was as a passer, how he liked to operate from the pocket, and just the way that he could just change the touch, timing, anticipation, the velocity on the throws. He just throws a very catchable ball. The part that I'm really most impressed with in watching him is just the maturity that he displays on the field. Played without four of his offensive linemen, played with a defense that didn't really have many of their starters, but didn't really matter. He did what franchise quarterbacks are supposed to do. He elevated the team. And when you think about the first three starts and how he is with Justin Herbert and Cam Newton as the only guys, they have three starts, but they go over 900 passing yards. That's really impressive. And the fact that he hasn't thrown an interception, to me, that speaks volumes about his ability to play winning football. This Texans team may have gotten it right with their franchise quarterback. There's a reason to be optimistic if you're a Houston Texans fan.
Yeah, and I feel like he's built a ton of trust, right, up with the coaching staff, with Bobby Slowick, and with everybody that has a hand in the offensive game plan, because there doesn't seem to be any guardrails. You know, like they're going to push the ball down the field. They're going to put it in his hands 30 times and trust him to protect it, trust him to find his playmakers. And, man, I feel like I've been saying it for like a year or two now. This Texans team has been, it's been a slow build now, but they have been slowly building some interesting and kind of fun pieces, young pieces along the offensive side of the ball with, you know, John Mechie just starting to get his feet wet. Tank Dell, obviously, is the rookie this year, is you know, exploding right now, and especially in the explosive pass game. You know, Pierce from last year back. Brevin Jordan starting to get back into the game plan a little bit too. And, you know, Nico Collins is starting to open up his game. Like, there's just this team and this offense in particular growing with the quarterback that they feel like is their guy moving forward, I think speaks volumes. And it's going to be fun to watch in Houston, not just for the rest of this year, but for the next couple of years.
You know, it's interesting. I was just looking at his numbers and comparing Stroud. And let's just, you know, why not? Let's just go right to the very tippy top of the league. Everybody knows Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league. He's been the best player in the league for a while now. And this is an incredibly small sample size. But when you start looking at, like, average depth of target, yards per attempt, you know, adjusted completion percentage. Like, these numbers are all very close, you know, through the first three games for each of those players. So when you're stacking up, against the best in the business, and you don't look all that dissimilar, that's a heck of a start for CJ Stroud. And, you know, Buck, to me, I think this is something where this is obviously just the beginning. He's just getting started. But when you see early on in somebody, it's hard to tell. Sometimes it takes 3 years to figure these guys out. This game does not look fast for him. It does not look big for him. And I feel like this is just the platform he's getting ready to continue to grow. So that's it's got to be pretty exciting if you're a Texans fan. You got your guy,
man. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's super exciting for them because we talk about how hard it is to find that guy. And you're right, DJ. You talk about, like, sometimes you can just look and they pass the eyeball test in terms of the game is not too fast for them. They kind of step into the light when everyone is expecting them to play at a high level. He has done that. It'll be curious to see how he continues to progress over the course of the season. He's there, but I can't wait to see what Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young also do the rest of the season.
Yeah, but, well, let's see if you can maintain your role here, Buck. You're leading this whole thing, this rookie draft that, I'll be honest, I don't even know if Bucky was all in on this. He was pulled into this whole thing, and yet here he is dominating through 3 weeks. I'm not happy about
it. The receivers were pretty close. That was a pretty tight race to get that win for the wideouts. So I think we were all like within a couple of points of each other.
We don't care about closeness. We just care about the bottom line. We're just about a bottom line business. We don't worry about how close it was. Did you win or did you lose? That's all we worry about.
You're right.
When you take a quarterback early, you can't get him to the starting line. That's tough. That's tough. But look, guess what? Guess who gets to have the first pick as we rotate this through? Buck. And we're changing it up because of the health of the quarterbacks. No quarterbacks this week. New rule. This week, we're just taking a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end. So we're eliminating the quarterbacks so we don't have that debacle that we had last week. But Buck, you're up first.
This is hard for me because I used to have rules in fantasy football that I never could pick a player that is playing against my team. And so this week, the Atlanta Falcons are taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the more competent me is, like, there's no way I can pick Bijan Robinson. But then I got to do it. I got to take Bijan Robinson number one overall because, like, it's you guys. And I can't stomach the fact that I would fall short if I don't have him. So I'm going to take Bijan Robinson. Welcome to Team BB.
All right. That brings me up right here, Deej, at number two.
Yep.
And in this case, just, you know, I feel like, you know, I went Roschon Johnson last week and I felt pretty good about it. But obviously that offense was a whole mess for the Bears. So I can't possibly go back to that well again. I got to go Jahmyr Gibbs. It's just I got to do it. And I got to hope that they're going to get him more targets in the pass game like they have been the first two games. So give me Jahmyr up with the Lions.
All right. Well, I guess I know who I'm taking at that position, but I can wait. I don't need to do that anytime soon. So I can go back to back here. I'm going to go, I think I have to. I feel like I'm borrowing Rhett's, you know, his pet here because Puka Nacua has been his go-to guy.
Wow.
And, it wasn't a huge game for him. It was still a solid game. I'm going to go Puka Nacua. They are playing the Colts, I believe. Let me double check that.
Yes.
Rams Colts next week. So I'm going to go Puka with my first pick, and I'm going to come back. I've got my choice of tight ends, and I'm going to go Sam Laporta. So those are my first two picks there. I'm going to go BYU and Iowa, my two guys.
Okay. So that comes back to me. I'm going to go Tank Dell. Give me the wideout from the Texans. The explosive play threat, big play threat. Went for buck 45 last week. Found himself into the end zone. I feel like the Texans are going to get it done. So give me Tank Dell, the rookie.
Wow. I mean, I would think that I'm a little disappointed that DJ has an opportunity to take the guy, Quentin Johnson, who's going to have an opportunity to play that Mike Williams is out. He doesn't even support his own guy.
No,
right?
That's a little disappointing.
Josh Palmer's going to get a bunch
I would think that be a little bit of a homer in that regard, but I am going to go, and this is tough because Zay Flowers and Jordan Addison both have been kind of doing the thing, but Zay Flowers was so good for me last week that I can't bypass him again. I'm going to go with Zay Flowers as my wideout.
You get to go back to back.
I get
to go back to back. Okay, so then give me Dalton Kincaid from the Buffalo Bills, and so Josh Allen. This offense beginning to figure it out. James Cook has been good on the ground, so that should open up some things down the middle. And the pass game on play action. Dalton Kincaid, welcome to the squad.
All right, there you go. So Bucky's got his full squad laid out. And watching this Saints-Packers game last week, and I love the way that Jordan Love was targeting Luke Musgrave. So I'm going to go with my tight end. And it's really, I like Dalton Kincaid. And I've kind of expecting bigger things out of him. But at this point, I want Musgrave to get it rolling for me. 6 catches, 49 yards last week. I think might be getting into the end zone this week for the Packers to kind of keep that momentum rolling on the offensive side.
I'm so mad right now. I got my last pick.
Why?
I had it all queued up and ready to go. I've been thinking about this for a while because this was going to be my pick. I've been thinking about this for a week. I knew this day was coming.
Wow.
And unfortunately, okay. my man decided after a monster game that we no longer should reference his name with a chain. It is now a Chan, I believe, if I'm saying that correctly. It
should
be Devon a Chan. He's no longer a Chain because I had, and I know what again, we probably couldn't use it because of copyright, but I had Quad City DJs come on ride a Chain ready to go. And thank you. Call your defensive ends, Dan Marino, and your friends. That's right. I was ready to go. I was ready to go. But now it's a Chan. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I'm still taking him. 200 yards last week, so I'm in on him. He's going to be my pick this week. He got a couple new names in the mix this week.
Yeah, they don't have. I want to make sure you know they don't have the Broncos this week. Just wanted to let you know that they got the Bills. This
week. Because everybody else has done such a great job of slowing that offense down so far. So I'm sure it's just a one time deal.
I may or may not have put like $37 bucks on my waiver wire budget on Devon Achan this week. So
Achan, man, Achan just has such more punch to it. You know,
it does. It does. And is Buck, it still Devon or Dolphins? Do I need to make sure?
Can you imagine? Okay. We got the just cranking that tune every time he pops a run. The whole crowd is just pulling the horn down. I mean, come on. What a lost marketing opportunity on that one. Oh, well. Well, that's going to do it for us today. That was a fun one. Good way to end there on the rookie draft. And again, Achan, come on. I got to get used to that. That's a new pronunciation, but I'm going to get it down. Excited for my team to bounce back. Bucky is off to a big start here. I'm going to try and reel him in. But that's going to do it for us today. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. Remember, we got shows each and every day this week, including our 1,000th episode. So be on the lookout for that. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.